Derek, do you want to introduce us?
Kick it off.
Yeah, sure. Hi. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the HLE podcast. I'm your co-host this week, Derek Bosley, back on after a long absence with your host, new host, Carter McKenzie. How's it going, buddy?
Not by choice. Yeah, we're here. We're here in southwestern Virginia with the crew, with the boys. Let's introduce ourselves.
What's going on? Frank Melito, I'm the co-host tonight.
Frank Melito, native of
Long Island, New York.
Long Island, New York.
Goddamn Yankee.
Goddamn Yankee. I almost came correct, though. I was going to come in full gear, but I didn't want to offend anybody, so I decided not to do that.
By full gear, you mean like full regalia, like Civil War?
Oh, like Civil War. Regalia. 1863, carrying a muzzleloader. I was going to have flashbacks from a past life. I decided not to do that. I thought it might go over not too well.
Not taking off on a cannonball.
Would have been exchanged.
A lot more than words.
You talking about the War of Northern Aggression?
Derek's family probably would have been on the Union side as well, though.
We
didn't give a fuck.
I don't like the not racist Virginia, though.
Yeah, like, no, we just, like, our fucking fight in the Civil War is basically the same fight that America had at the Revolutionary War. Like,
yeah.
The fancy Virginia didn't fucking listen to us. Yeah. We're like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, good on you.
Go ahead, get your ass kicked.
Good on you for seceding to the winning side.
There you go. Hell yeah,
winning side, brother. Which way we lead?
Blue, baby.
All right, and we're also joined by our esteemed host of the Fish Lift Eat podcast.
A little cross pollination here.
What's up, guys? Casey here. Up here getting to hang out with some of these guys at Deer Camp, Doe Camp, and finally getting to put some real life faces in front of me that, you know, we're used to looking at on a screen. But yeah, fired up to be here.
Is this the first time you and Frank have met in person?
In person, yeah, because he stood me up last time he was supposed to come.
Wow.
We lied to Casey. Told him we're ice fishing up here.
Somebody told me that there was like big smallmouth running around up here or something.
This monster smallmouth and his giant red eyes.
Yeah.
And I just want to put on record that Casey looks just as good in person as he does.
Oh, I agree.
The internet.
Which is horrible.
I've known Casey for almost 15 years and handsome man.
Very handsome.
He ain't got shit on that.
But not as handsome as Derek.
No. You're going to make me blush.
He can't make knives, so Derek, you win.
I just want to be like Derek when I grow up.
Yeah, you'll get there one day.
Which Derek is who did my interview for the team whenever I joined.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, I did so many. It's all blurred into one big beat.
Well, obviously I'm not very easy to be forgotten about.
No, I do remember you because I asked you about, I know a guy that's a semi-professional fisher too, so I asked you about him. Yep.
Yeah, even back then, before Fish Lift Eat had the legs that it does now, most of our interview ended up talking about fishing because I'm pretty sure I wore my Fish Lift Eat shirt to the interview.
Yeah, so I'm the fucking world's worst.
We got off on that tangent talking about fishing the whole time, and here we are today.
Here we sit. Well, racing our dicks off.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about the team and the entire iteration because Derek and I have known each other for almost 3 years now, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the first time I met you was
up here,
10 minutes from here at the other Cox, well, not Cox, but whatever the other last name is, property at Peach Bottom.
Eisner. Maybe.
I don't think it's Eisner.
Okay.
At the other family farm, and I was invited up, and that was my first introduction to the crew back then.
That's when we were
to what was the team when we were 12 people on
12 nut sacks in a group chat. Just out here raw dogging life, trying to figure it out. And then I thought you were like the responsible team member until I met you in person. And then you were feeding me bourbon at 5:30 in the morning before we go out to the tree stand. Like, what the fuck, school teacher?
Every time we've hunted together, it's been
that's how
Carter's famous line is, hey, you want a whiskey?
Dude, everybody's like, you're a school teacher, man. I did. Just like, just trying to escape reality.
Yeah, but now, like, looking back on it now, I know that all my fucking school teachers through middle school and high school were probably like just hammered.
You have to.
All the time.
You have to.
If I had to deal with me as a fucking teenager, I would be fucking drunk.
That's what I'm saying.
All day.
Why do you think I'm drinking so much right now? I would do it with you now.
It makes sense.
That's just us doing a podcast.
Yeah, that was the first team doe camp slash button butt camp. Shout out to John Hatton.
John Hatton.
Shot his first deer, and it was a button buck. But
yeah,
that was the first iteration, man, and it's kind of wild to extrapolate how it's grown from then. Like, Derek and I have done 200-plus interviews together, and I remember doing them through your February fitness challenge that you put on our first year in business, and I was on the damn... You and I about killed each other trying to keep up, and I was on the damn... bike, I'd be rocking on my treadmill
and we'd just be talking to fucking people, interviewing them. I'm like, I'm not gonna let Carter edge me out.
And we both had terrible internet, and it drove Luke crazy, which made me even
happier. It's awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of all this. And so we're here at our men's rendezvous doe camp. Our women's was 2 weekends ago. For all the women on the team here in Southwest Virginia, the Cox Family Forum. And we've got, I don't know, 18 guys here from all over the country and Canada.
Yeah, we're international.
We're international, baby.
Doing it big.
It's pretty sweet, though, to see, like, this second rendezvous and see some new faces.
It's way sweet.
It's awesome. It's crazy. There's so many... There's guys that, like you, Frank, you've been on the team for a while. Casey, you've been on the team for a while that I haven't met, but, like, I've talked to. Feel like I'm pretty good friends with. And there's dudes like I've never talked to before in my life here, and like finally getting to meet everybody, just because it's the team has grown so much, and we've kind of compartmentalized into regions. Like you don't get that cross pollination that we used to have. That's the second time I've used that. That's nice.
We got over here.
We got SA the Beast.
Well, he runs book club, bitch. Focus guy.
Vocab guy. Yeah, but you don't get to meet everybody anymore. Just by the nature of growing, which is unfortunate in one case, but awesome in another, because now you're reaching more people.
Well, the grounding piece is the folks I'm looking over here. We're sitting on the edge of a pole barn that was probably built 100 years ago on the edge of a beautiful farm in Southwest Virginia in Appalachia. And there's 16 other guys behind Derek and to my right around a campfire, and most of these folks had never met before.
But you wouldn't know it.
You would not know. Yeah, no. It's crazy.
No, and that concept in and of itself is like, that's what reiterates and reignites and reaffirms like what we're doing here. And that's like a really impactful feeling.
Yeah, because there's not that normally when you meet people that you've like sparsely talked to, there's always that.
Yeah.
But
you're in.
You enjoy it. It's not awkward.
Yeah.
It's weird being able to kind of show up somewhere, you know, seeing people for the first time in person, but not having to do like introductions more or less. Like I'm thinking like, you know, Derek, Frankie, Gabe, like some of these guys over here that I've talked to numerous times. And, you know, you walk up and just say, oh, hey, what's up, Frankie? I think, actually, I made fun of Frankie as soon as he walked up.
I gave him a hug. I'm just a nicer person.
I'm a bigger man.
Just goes to show that, never met the guy, like, in person. But as soon as he walks up, we can talk crap to each other like we've, you know, been hanging out for the last month.
Yeah.
It's crazy because you can't do that in arguably any space I've ever been a part of, right? Like Casey and I had known each other for a very long time through college and
various different groups and organizations and stuff too, but nothing quite like this.
No.
Not to where that, you know, even back to like the fraternity days.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we all got along. We were all brothers. Everybody was close, but there was still, you know, the people that you were more connected with.
For sure.
Like this, there's not outliers. You know, there's no cliques, there's no, you know, subgroups out of it. I mean, we all may have our different passions and different groups inside this organization that we work with, but it's still one really big cohesive unit, and that's really cool.
Yeah, and like what I find pretty cool is that like there's no awkwardness and there's no problems. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, I probably talk to like most of you guys more than my own friends and family, which is kind of wild. Because we're like so far apart, like logistically, right? And then like I can show up here and I can meet Doug, who I've never met before, but I've seen him on like seminars and like, you know, team calls, and I can, you know, give him a hug and that's it. It's cool.
And for context, you know, you're one of our region leaders, and like Derek was saying, we split out as it's grown. Yeah. We had to split out to be able to provide the service isn't the right word. What's the word I'm looking for?
Interaction.
Yeah, to provide
the social interaction.
Right, that we were looking for as we've grown across the country to do it right and to do it well.
Well, I think we've put such an emphasis on the community and then adding that value to our members.
Value.
That, you know, we kind of had to do that to where, you know, everybody still had the places where they could plug in and connect and network and everything and not feel just like a number.
Yeah, you don't want to, you don't want to be lost in the noise. And like, it, and unfortunately, if you get too many people in one spot, it's just ends up what it happens.
Yeah.
So the regional thing, as much as it, I hate to see it happen, like it has to,
it's necessary.
Like that. Like there's no other way when you're 300-400 members plus, at some point you have to break up a little bit to where you can have those small groups that, that can gel together and become even closer. But even when you come to something like this where everybody's mixing, like
People from all regions. Even, are here.
Like I've never met Doug before or seen Doug, but like I still
hey dude, want to get on a podcast?
Yeah, you want to say we just ran out of microphones or Doug would be on this podcast.
Dude, here's the cool thing, Derek. You remember I also think this is cool, like the old days, right? Our first iterations of this team was born out of Luke and some of you other guys like, hey, I'm gonna get out of the military, blah, blah, blah. Looking for my people when I transition out, right? And I got brought into that just talking through Hunt Lift Eat on Instagram and came out and met you guys like I was talking about previously. And I was like, oh, this is way cool. And then that conversation around the fire after you almost got blown up when somebody shot that propane tank in the fire pit, you almost died.
I was way too close.
The conversation
word almost.
Yeah, the conversation that happened around that fire pit was, I bet there are other people out there who want to do this too.
Yeah.
And then we did that, and then you can't
see this. Well, let me paint this word picture for you.
But there's a lot of flesh right behind us.
So Bubba just came over here.
We did Bubba's interview.
And pulled his pants down like a toddler and took a piss right behind Frank.
And it's fine. It's cool.
But you and I, remember, we did interviews every night for 4 weeks, 3 times.
Yeah.
For sometimes 6 hours a day, back to back, individual interviews, because we realized very quickly that this application draws a certain caliber of individual. And I can count on 2 hands probably how many bad interviews we had.
I could count on 1 hand. I think I've had 1.
Yeah.
And it was mine.
It was Casey's, and he let him in just because nepotism. Well, it was harder.
We were in each other's weddings, so it's good enough.
I mean, the fault.
And like, you know, when we first started kicking around the idea of this, you know, we were like, all right, you know, we'll open up applications. We might get 50 applications and we'll probably accept 25. But then the first 5 people were like, fucking great. And we're like, we still have a month of this. How we?
Do you remember that conversation? We're like, there's no fucking, it's a fluke.
Yeah. We're like, there's no way. We'll get like maybe 30 applications. And we had 100. Before the fucking first day was over. So we're like, what the fuck? How do we deal with this?
Yeah.
But it's been so cool to see it grow and meet all these people from different walks of life. Fucking, we got Canadians.
Like 3 of them, but they're here.
Yeah.
It's like all over the country.
It's awesome, though. Yeah, but it's freaking awesome.
It's America's hat.
But, you know, talking about that, you know, kind of getting over, not necessarily overwhelmed, but seeing the draw to that, to where you put it out and you get 100 applications. You know, you could have just as easily been like, okay, no, this is more we want to fool than what we want to mess with.
Yeah.
You know, and then we wouldn't have this. But the fact of, you know, we want this community. You know, we knew what it was and what it could be, to where, you know, you kind of just have to take it on and surround yourself with the good people and then, you know, figure out the details around it. And that's kind of what we've had to do with the regions, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, so many people are wanting this and wanting to be a part of this, to where you kind of just got to dive in head first and figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, there is the value in it. There's, you know, obviously there's a lot of value in it because people are showing up from all over the country to be here.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could have just as easily been like, okay, nah, we just want to get our small group and roll with it and have fun going hunts together, have the group chat. And
well, and
stuff
to
like
be honest,
that.
We went through that phase for sure.
Well, I think a lot of it too, with when that initial phase was like, we just didn't know.
We didn't know
how to, we didn't want to be just an affiliate thing where like you
get, scale it.
You get a code and correct. Like see you fucking never. Like yeah. we didn't want that. That's not what we were about. We wanted to actually build people that were like-minded with us and learn from each other and fucking, you know, just actually create bonds, not yeah. just fucking build numbers. And right. I think that's been
not
the awesome
have,
thing
not just
about
have t-shirts
it.
And
exactly.
hats.
Like Matt. Fucking selling t-shirts is cool and all, but like who gives a fuck? It's, I like the fact that
terrible margins,
but I've got
not
fucking,
a great business
fucking friends all over now, you know, yeah. like, you know, fucking people that I've never met in person, but I feel comfortable. Like if I was in that area, I could fucking, not that I would ever go to fucking Long Island.
But
I would feel so
bad for you. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You know what though? But like for me, what I find is like really special, especially right now, like coming full circle, being here at like the second rendezvous, is that like I followed you guys for a while and I was like fortunate enough to get in on that first round.
Yeah.
And I'll like never forget, I was at work. I like commandeered like a medic room. I said, "Hey man, get out! I gotta like, make a fast call."
It was weird,
and it was
like a closet.
Yeah, yep. And
get the fuck.
I was like, "Hey man, I'm really sorry. I need you to get out of your office because I need it."
He flashed the taser at him.
And it was me, you, and Luke was. I want to say Luke might have been overseas or about to be overseas, and we like started talking, and it was just cool. Like even though. I just felt like I like clicked with you guys like right away, and it was a group that I always wanted to have exist, but never existed right until then. Because yeah. I've been a part of like other, you know, affiliates and other, you know, pro staffs and whatnot, sure. And I always wanted it to be something more like this that just wasn't. And then now to come full circle and, you know, actually be able to be like a bigger part of the group and like, you know, community. I find it's freaking amazing and like it's super special, especially being here right now on this property.
Well, and the other thing that's cool is like now, like you bought in and believed in the message and the mission so much, like now you're in a leadership position and now you're the region lead in the entire Northeast. And now you have, what, 70 people in your region?
It's freaking like amazing.
And you're meeting people here for the first time in your region.
Or from my region, yeah.
That you've been talking to and like...
Yeah, it's like surreal.
Putting together seminars and hosting, you know, happy hour calls and team region calls and meeting up in person and doing bow shoots and shed hunts and like things like that. And like, dude, what are people doing with their lives? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to extrapolate that, but like, it's cool. It's really cool that you... have bought in and now you're in that position to help bring other people to that. Like, because like if you don't have that tribe, if you don't have that community of the same individuals that buy into the same thing, like what are you doing? You're just going through life blind, right?
Yeah. And like, especially coming from where I come from, like, listen, there's a lot of people who do the same things that we do, but it's just, it's like a different level, you know? And then it becomes like, you know, clicky, like this, people who are strictly like, I'm a public land bow hunter and it's super clicky. And then it's like, oh, like I'm a diehard, like waterfowler. And like, for me, I do everything.
You're a marathoner.
Yeah. I'm a marathoner.
Squirrels?
I'm an opportunist.
Frank asked me today when we were at Peach Bottom, is there a season on crows?
So
I don't think Evan gives a shit.
I am. When it comes to like this kind of stuff, I just like being outside with like my friends, like doing anything. Like if you said, hey man, tomorrow morning instead of going deer hunting, let's go squirrel hunting. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Because
yeah.
Honestly, like when is the next time that I'm gonna be able to do that with you? Right?
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But like, where else is that gonna happen? Aside from this team being what it is and what it has become, like it's almost mind blowing, but it's like amazing. It's amazing at the same time,
dude. People just want to belong, and like,
yep,
they have to. It's
we're social beings.
It's innate in you. You want to find the people that you gravitate towards, and when you find that group, like you'll do almost whatever, whatever it takes to
nothing outside of this is going to bring the personalities that are represented here together to the same place at one time.
Yeah.
And you think about like, think about what, you know, you have people from, like, I've said this a bunch, but like, you have people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got fucking, you got business owners, you got fucking grunts, you got cops, you got fucking engineers, you got fucking defense contractors, you got, you know,
Expert knife makers.
Where's that
rich,
guy?
Married.
Where's that guy?
Young. We got 65, 18.
We got like, Ryan's old ass here. He's fucking
that guy's old.
But he's keeps up though. But he's fucking old. Old. Come on, man. He's
old. You hear me say? He'll kick the shit out of
him. I guess way strong. Jack Rasmussen. Holy shit!
Oh my god.
He's a bad. He's a fucking man. Fuck that guy.
The crazy thing is, like, that dude has the bragging rights to say, I killed the first elk in Virginia. And, like, son of
a bitch.
Yep.
Yeah. Only one person can say that. Only one
person can say that. Man, that's him.
And he's so humble about it, too, which makes him even more of, like, a testament to his character.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's the other thing I love. Like, we were talking about, like, a lot of us have been burned by field staffs and pro staffs. And Casey and I have both done it. I know for sure. And I know you have, too. But, like, on the fishing side of things, I know Casey has, and I tried to wade into it on the hunting side of things when I thought that's what I wanted to do, but so transactional, like you said, yeah. Fake. Here's your discount code, go make content for me kind of thing, but like the...
Join our Facebook group, and that's it. It's like, bye, yeah, later, yeah. See you later.
Like, the humility and the humbleness that comes from being a part of, or I would say that our application, the individual that our application draws, I think is... I wouldn't do this anymore if it left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
At all. Right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If it didn't have individuals who want to come here and learn and teach, which I think is important as well, yep. But like and educate and just be a part of, like, you know, we have guys here hunting whitetail on the East Coast for the first time in their entire lives, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I had the opposite experience. See, I've never tried to be field staff or pro staff with anybody because I just didn't give a fuck enough to even try. And then when I started talking to Luke and he was like, hey man, you know, like, you want to be on the team? I'm like, I don't know. That's not my thing. He's like, hey, it's like, look, dude, it's not an affiliate thing. Like, you know, I'm not giving you a fucking promo code. Like, you're not getting free shit. And like, it's just a couple guys in a group chat like to fucking hunt. I'm like,
but it's very much to, you know, trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, trust me. Right. Like, and at that point, I had talked to Luke enough to where, like, we kind of felt each other out. And I was like, all right, fuck it. Yeah, why not? And fucking, I'm the best, one of the best decisions I ever made, other than swiping right on Jenna.
Yes. Shout out to Jenna.
Nice.
But, like, same thing, right? Like, three of my best friends are here under this fucking pole barn right now. And I would not have felt confident telling them about Hung Lift Eat if I didn't feel good about it too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's important that you want to be able to, like, tell your people about it that are outside of the community. I think that's important.
You know what's funny though? I'll never forget.
I'm not talking about you, Frank. I'm talking about Casey.
That's fine.
Spencer and Cole.
I know. That's fine. That's okay. That's okay.
The OGs.
Did you hear that, Frank? You don't mean shit to him.
That's all right, man. You know what? At least I'm still sitting next to him, and I just get to stare at his beautiful face for like 2.5 days.
You know what? Bobby should be here.
Fuck Bobby.
Hashtag fuck Bobby.
Hashtag fuck Bobby.
I take that back. I love Bobby.
No, I do not.
Love you. Love you.
I'm not.
Wish you were here. So I'll never forget in June when I was like, hey, to like my wife, hey, I want to go down to Virginia and go camping for a weekend. She goes, wait, with who? I'm like, oh, you know, the guys from Hunt Lift Eat.
It's a bunch of dudes.
She was like,
with a bunch of guys I've never met.
She was like, wait, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, like, we hang out, like, Hunt Lift Eat. You know, like, that's what it is. Like, it's cool, right? You know, like, I've been on podcast.
Go.
Yeah. And like, she goes, wait, like, are you going to bring a gun? I'm like, yeah, of course I am. Of course.
It's a pistol course. Seminar.
Pistol. That was amazing, by the way, with Andy. That was great. And so, like, she was, like, super, like, skeptical. And I was like, oddly okay with it. I'm like, no, it's cool. Like, I've been hanging out with these guys for like almost a year now, like talking to them like almost every other day. I'm like, it'll be
we
fine.
Zoom.
Yeah, we Zoom. We do podcasts. Like, hey, I was on a seminar with Carter last week. He's fine. He's safe. He's like, he's safe.
He seemed like a nice guy.
She's like, well, you know, good luck. Stay by the kids just in case.
And I mean, life insurance.
Don't worry.
Make sure premiums paid.
Insurance was updated before I left. I promise. And then I trekked. You know, it took me 12 hours to come down here, and like I wouldn't have done that if I knew that it was gonna be something like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then like literally, I'll never forget. I roll in at freaking midnight, trying to not fall off a switchback, closing all the goddamn gates. I'm not chasing cattle.
Yep.
I park my truck. I got a big ass hug from Chad, and he goes, "Here, have some whiskey."
Yep.
And like that was it. And I was like, "This shit is real, man."
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Yep.
Like,
have you met Chad?
No. So I had a knife class for the Southeast guys laying on, and then some work shit hit, and I had to leave the country real quick, and super poopy about that.
For context, Chad is our Southeast region lead. Frank's counterpart.
Shout out old Chad.
Right.
Yeah.
Old Chadwick.
Real salt of the earth kind of guy.
Dude, he's great. He's
but like
great.
Down to earth, like if you have a problem, you call him up, he will help you out if he can.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he's 5 hours away or 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know, like, but that's similar to like almost probably everyone on this team right now.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, like if I was in Florida, like, hey, Derek, listen, I need help with something. He'd be like, all right, cool, what's up? Like that's amazing.
Yeah. Like Derek was talking about, like, human nature, we're social beings, and our species needs that. And I would say, like, you know, we have 52 women on our team too, which is amazing.
We have that many women?
Yeah.
And they are badass.
They are badass.
Women.
Most of them
badass.
Fucking beat the shit out of me, but or out hunt me. They're amazing. But like, I don't know. If you're listening to this and this is something you're interested in,
you should, on the fence.
Yeah. Highly recommend looking into it.
Do it.
Jump off the fence.
For all the aforementioned reasons, but
why not you?
Yeah.
Come out in the fodder's fan.
Yep. I mean, it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
So we are here at Doe Camp, and we do have one hanging up behind us back here.
We do.
Day one.
There's one. There's one.
Let's set the stage.
Yeah.
It's got a pretty good story too. I mean, I laughed when I heard the story about it. It was entertaining.
So I meant to hunt this morning, and I'm in a tent full of dudes. So I was like, all right, you know, they'll get rousing and I'll wake up. So I didn't set an alarm. And
it's a little chilly, and there was some drinking last night. Maybe
there's a smidgen. There's a smidgen of drinking. And so nobody in our tent got the fuck up. Frank,
right here,
the old silent assassin. Cause I never heard shit. So
fucking ninja.
When I rolled over and it was daylight, and I looked at my watch, it was 8 o'clock. It's like, fuck me, miss the morning, hon.
When's the last time you slept until 8?
All the time.
Really,
dude? So Quinn sleeps in.
You have kids.
I know, but she has always slept in. I don't know how.
And your former ranger.
Love it. 7 a.m. on the dot.
Great, but it's like 6:30 at the.
No, dog.
7 a.m. for me.
Quinn will sleep till. If she wakes up at 7:45, that's early for her. Normally she's like
my kid's pulse.
She's like an 8:30 kind of kid. And has always been like that.
What time does she go to bed?
She normally goes to bed in between 2100, 2100, you know. She's normally asleep by 2030.
Yeah.
Or 8:30, whatever, if you fucking speak military time or
not. Mine too, but they're up 7 a.m. on the fucking dot.
Nah, dog. She will fucking just sleep her little ass off. And I like
wild.
It's great. It's fucking great. Yeah, so we just sat around camp and bullshitted, waited for folks to come in for the most part. And made a little food, got some biscuits. We got Luke Cox here jumping in.
Getting hijacked over here.
Yeah.
What's up, boys?
What's going on?
How you feeling about Winter Rendezvous? Day one. Luke was like, yeah, well, I'll be there.
It's about on par for us.
Luke said, I'll be there 12:30 at the latest. And about 3 o'clock, he rolls in.
I got in at 2 on the dot.
We were unsupervised.
For way too long.
Way too much stuff happened that he doesn't even know about.
I don't want to know about it. The parallels between being a company commander in the infantry and this team are fucking uncanny.
Man, that's
shit I don't even want to know about.
We just you wake up and you're like, all right, no DUIs over the weekend. It was a good one.
It was a good one. It's hard to get a DUI in this county. You got to be trying. Oh, man.
Yeah, lobster people afraid of patrol.
I don't think I passed a cop from the time I got off the interstate.
I think I didn't see
any the whole time. And like I was like, I'm definitely getting pulled over by somebody. I was doing like 90 trying to get here from New York, man. I was like, at some point, I'm getting pulled over.
Says the cop.
Yeah, a single cop here.
Hey, just flash my badge and get the fuck out of this.
Right, man. I'll allow it. Is it?
Oh, man. What do you think about this place, Casey?
This place is great. Dude, it reminds me so much of home. It really does.
Yeah.
Just like the landscape and kind of the atmosphere of it. It's just...
North Georgia and Southwestern Virginia have more in common than,
I mean, in grand scheme of things, I mean, we're only, 4.5 hours up the road.
Same mountains.
Yeah. It's awesome. I wasn't able to make the last rendezvous for some other stuff going on, but, whenever the dates come out on this one, I knew I was going to make every chance I could to get here. And yeah, got in a little bit later than I wanted to, but
same. No, I'm good.
Pussy.
Back on the wagon, man.
Pussy. I ain't never been so disappointed in you in my whole
life. I've been hearing that all night. I've also heard that my whole life. I talked to my old man.
Can't hurt my feelings. I hold a flashlight for my dad.
Yeah.
You called every name in the book.
We were talking about something earlier, and I was like, he'll get over it. I've been yelled at by him before. I've been chewed out before. I'll pass this back to Carter.
You were going to tell us the story about your deer, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The deer. Since we're actually at
the deer situation because we're at deer camp.
Well, before Derek went over there and hunted the property we were hunting, Frank and I went over there and we got to sight in our rifles, which is nice on day one.
You guys were gone for a minute.
Well, that's important. It takes some people a long time to sight in,
Was it Frank? Was it Frank?
Nope. It actually was.
Two shots, baby.
Two shots he was on.
One shot at 100 money and 200. Dead on.
So I'm gonna tell myself here. So I went over yesterday and I sighted in when I got here. And
when you went to the wrong farm.
Yeah, when I went to the wrong farm. I thought we were Peach Bottom and
where the hell is everybody?
Dude, I sat there for fucking hours before Ryan called me. He was like, hey man, where you at? Like, I'm here. Where are you guys at? It's like you're not in the right spot.
Yeah. Well,
fuck.
It's an important This could be a Tuesday Tips episode, but like when you're getting together with folks at deer camp, everybody needs to confirm zero before you go hunting. That needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're traveling. You have to.
Yep.
That's not just with firearms. I mean, that's bows, guns, everything. Like, for just the small amount of time that it takes to have that, that's key.
Yes. Especially if you're hunting somebody else's property, somebody else's family property. You need to take it seriously and do your due diligence, right?
That, and you owe it to that fucking animal as well.
You owe it to everybody.
Yeah.
You owe it to a lot of people.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is if there's 18 dudes here, is be like, hey, man, I got to track this deer because my scope's all jacked up.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy's.
No.
So speaking of that, so I got here yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, I need a zero because I just got a new muzzle.
Oh, I wasn't calling you out. I'm just saying in general.
I didn't zero it. I got a brand new muzzle loader. Hadn't zeroed it yet. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Peach Bottom. I'm going to zero this thing. So I'm on.
Have you owned one before?
No, this is my first one.
It's a silly weapon.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's definitely straight.
Hey, man.
I dove in like.
But Virginia is a weird state and they have a long muzzleloader season. So I get it.
Yeah.
So when
you head out west, you can get out earlier because they have those early muzzleloader seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's definitely like advantage to it.
Planes with muzzy.
So that's kind of where I was like, well, it just opens you up to a bunch of different shit. So
we got to roll out there earlier today and side in. I brought my 30-30 and I brought my 300 Win Mag that I'm going to go hunt with Gabe. I'm going to draw an elk tag and go hunt with him in Wyoming because that guy's a killer. And
guaranteed to kill us.
Brought them both. And Evan's here.
Yeah.
Who is a phenomenal shooter.
And he's dreamy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't tell him either of these things.
He knows it. You don't tell him. I told him 11 times today.
But, dude, he got me sighted in, like, so quick today.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Don't tell Luke, but, like, awesome. Holy shit, dude. He got me sighted in so quick. He's like, hey, man, just relax. He's good. Just relax, dude. I was like, like, brother, I'm relaxed. We got sighted in. That was fun. And
that was awesome.
Got to go out to Peach Bottom and shoot a little bit in beautiful Appalachian mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Frank was like, I'm going to quit my job, move here. This place is
awesome. I was like, what am I doing?
This is top tier, dude.
I belong. No,
I haven't seen one.
No. If I move, I am not being a cop.
That's a really cool part about both properties that we're hunting is you are totally removed from everything, right? Because you and I hunt small acreage, and Casey and I do back home, and
oh my God, I have like
exactly.
Half an acre to 5 acre plots. Yeah,
I think that's a lot of properties that people hunt, and you just can't buy land today unless you're an LLC or big giant corporation anymore. Yeah. And out there, you're totally, it's a 457 acre property, and this is a 500 and whatever acre property, especially on the East Coast. It's a big deal, and you don't have to worry about neighbors or like what neighbor it's do I have to text or call if my deer runs on their property, and like the pressure was off.
Yeah,
and that was nice.
So get back to, so when I was at Peach Bottom yesterday, I'm fucking shoot my muzzleloader, I'm like trying to get it on, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'd hit, you know, high and right, and then I'd make an adjustment, and then I'd be like way fucking off. I'm like, what is going on? After like 3 or 4 shots, I'm sitting down my muzzleloader and I hear something rattle. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then it dawned on me when I was putting on my scope, I forgot that I needed to grab a big Phillips or a flathead screwdriver to tighten down
the scope.
The scope.
Oh, God. So your scope was
just flapping.
Just flapping in the wind. Just hand tight. I'm like, fuck me. So after 3 shots, after I tightened it, I was dead on.
There's your Tuesday tips. Have a spotter when you're sighting in.
Yeah.
Have an Evan when you're sighting in.
Tuesday tips. Tighten your
scope. I'm shooting black rifle.
Carry a screwdriver.
It's like, there's a giant puff of smoke. You can't see dick after he pulled the trigger.
It's a silly weapon.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah. Fucking 3 days ago, I operated this weapon. It's already shooting at 200.
It's a super fancy monster.
It is a fancy monster.
Yeah. So the afternoon hunt went fucking great for me. Made my way over to Peach Bottom where Carter was.
This is the lease that you and I are on.
Yes.
And have been for several years.
Yes. And I actually passed you guys coming back from sighting in your rifles on the way over there.
Yeah.
I got there, got myself situated, and I texted Evan. I was like, hey, man, what's the best stand to go to?
What is that stand called? Did they call it the prickly pear or something?
I don't know.
He was like, cactus something.
He was like, hey, man, there's a box stand.
Evan has funny names for every stand.
Down there when you're pulling.
He's like,
across the culvert.
Yeah. Why don't you go hunt spruce field? I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Go hunt horse bones. I'm like, horse bones? Know where that is?
Fuck did you name it that? Yeah, no, I Evan has hunted every weekend for the past 3 months up here. And his wife's a fucking saint because Jenna would have murdered me a long time ago. And so I was like, and he's been killing some monsters up here. So I was like, that's the guy to fucking ask like what stand to go to. So like, hey man, there's a box stand down at the bottom. When you pull in, coming across the creek, you can see it. It'll be right in front of you. I was like, yeah, I saw it. He's like, that's where you should go. I was like, okay. So loaded up, started making my way down there. And right as I came around the corner where I could see the box stand was maybe 50 meters in front of me, about 300 meters past that in an open field, there's 3 doe. Well, 3 deer, which I'm assuming does because they're grouped up.
Did you park at the cabin or on the way?
Yeah, parked at the cabin and walked down. So I'm fucking, I'm like, shit, how am I going to sneak in here? So I'm army crawling. So I'm army
with your muzzy?
Yes. I'm army crawling.
Get some work, baby.
With my muzzy. And
like the old days.
Just having flashbacks.
I almost had a flashback.
And the problem was once you got past the box blind, there's maybe 25 more meters you get to. There's a tree with a little terrain feature that I could have rested on and been fine, but it's still 200 meters. And 200 meters of muzzy is a little iffy. So I was like, fuck it. All right. If I can get across this open patch to this road, I can parallel them, get a little closer, and get a better shot. And
so you were hunting those does.
Oh, I was hunting those does. Sure. Yeah, like it was. You know, I was like, why not? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not gonna fuck up my evening hunt right now. So, tried to get across that opening ground. I got across it, and then as I went up the road, as they were going out of sight, I saw the big doe take off, and the other two went. I was like, okay, all right, well, missed that opportunity. Went back to the box blind, got myself situated, and I saw deer all day. Like, no sooner did I get in that box blind, a little spike came out maybe 50 meters away from the river bed right in front of me, and he just pranced around in front of me for a little bit. I'm like, anywhere else, buddy, you'd be fucking buddy, you'd be dead. And he just danced around for a little bit. I mean, I saw probably
does only.
It's does only. Or face the wrath of Evan, and I'd feel like doing that.
Pass.
Man, it would have to be a brute.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you right now, if something bigger than like a 10 walked out, I'd have bit that bullet.
You know, 140 points at least.
I'm gonna eat that one. Sorry, boys.
I don't want that fight.
I'm taking that fight. I'm taking for the right deer.
I'll take that ass whooping once.
I'll take that ass whooping. It was a great evening hunt. I mean, I saw
that bottom's really cool.
It was wide open land, so you could see everywhere, and
they managed deer very well over there.
They really do. And so I wouldn't have gave a shit if I killed anything this entire weekend. Just like being out with you guys, being outside, like that's where I just feel comfortable. I feel at home, and
seeing deer is cool,
dude. I don't even care if I see deer. Like I just like seeing animals, like fucking turkey. Like I saw a whole flock of turkeys, a little squirrel run around, but like. I finally saw this. I didn't even see it come out. You know, I was glassing somewhere else, and I turned, and there's a deer in the middle of the field that I'm looking at to my left, maybe at 80 to 100 meters by itself. And I probably glassed this thing for 15 minutes, and I talked myself in and out of shooting it at least a dozen times. Like, I'd look at its ears, and I'd be like, oh, no.
Because
it's does only. And the last thing I want to do... is shoot a fucking button bug. Hear that shit from Luke Cox. Like, get a lead, you shot a fucking button bug. You're off the team. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fucking do it on the first day, you know? And so,
that's a good tip.
That is a good tip, man. Like, if you're not sure, don't fucking shoot. But like,
and if she's by herself.
Yeah. And that's
good chance.
It's a good chance it's a button bug. So yeah. I sat there and stared at this thing. I'd talk myself into it, like, its neck's a little long. Its snout's long. And then, like, no, its snout's way too short. It's way too short. I see it's
what's
forehead.
Skull cap?
Its forehead's too flat. Yeah.
Well, that, you know, leading up to this, Luke did put a lot of emphasis on identifying, you know, button bucks to does.
Well, we've had some incidents.
Yeah, we have.
But that's got to be going through your head, too. Dude, it's like, you know, how big of a deal it really is.
Dude, I'm not exaggerating.
We've had seminars on, you know, being able to tell the difference.
I'm not exaggerating because that's all I heard was him in my head.
Yeah.
And so probably for 15 minutes, I sat and just glassed this deer, just staring at every inch of it. And finally, I was like, okay, I just need to look and see if there's anything else, because I could see another deer that was in the same spot as those originals. So it was about 200 meters from where I was sitting now, past it. So I've got the one at 80 to 100. I've got one at 200. And finally, I looked to the left in the shrubs and I saw another one. And I was like, okay, maybe if this one comes out, it's maybe it's a mom and a fawn. I'm like, okay, I'll feel a little bit better if this one comes out and finally starts feeding in the field. And it did. And then I did the same thing. I talked myself in and out of shooting. It's like, oh, well, maybe it's brother and sister, not mom and daughter. I'm like, fuck, what do I do? And finally, I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna bite this bullet. Fuck it.
He's like, I'm gonna go touch that head though before I call anything.
I send it. I finally send it. I've shot a decent amount of deer, and I've shot way further than this deer, but I have never been so nerve wracked in my entire life with a fucking shot. I was almost shaking. I swear to God, I had to reset myself at least three times before I fucking shot this deer. And, you know, I squeeze off the trigger. Black powder goes everywhere. I can't fucking see shit. I see him run off. I'm like, all right, well, that's not good. I wanted it dead right there. I didn't want to see it run. So I go out. I look for blood. I don't see shit. I'm like, all right, well, I know which way they ran.
I've heard that about muzzleloaders several times today. Dude, for the first time.
Couldn't see any, like...
Not a lot of blood.
I didn't see shit. I walked around there for probably 10, 15 minutes, and I had a good idea, like, where it was when I shot, and I didn't see anything. I was looking for track, but the ground was so frozen there, it was hard to, like, it'd be hard to kick something up or get a track. And finally, I saw one. I didn't know if it was...
The one?
One of the ones that were with me, but I saw it run away from me on the hill. So I was like, okay, I'll walk over here, just see what's going on. And finally I saw one, and it didn't move. And the closer I got, it didn't move. And finally, like, I got close enough to where I was maybe 15 meters away, and it got up, and it was super fucking wobbly. Like, she was dead on her feet, just not there yet. Go ahead.
He won't.
All right.
That'll be a reel.
Yeah. So she was dead on her feet. Like, she was rough. And I was trying to get close enough to where I could just slit her throat and end it. Because, like, the last thing I want to do is have this deer suffer. But I couldn't get close enough. I'd get within 15 meters, and then she'd get up and kind of run. I was like, all right. So. Finished off with a headshot, went down there, and I'm telling you, I've never been more terrified of looking at a deer's crotch in my entire life, dude. I went up and I grabbed its hind legs and just jerked it up as quick as I could. And
please,
I,
please, please.
Dude, I was so happy not to see a deer.
Please don't say anything, please.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, it was this instant fucking wave of relief.
Because you see what happened, like, as soon as you got back to camp, what was the first thing everybody did? Well, what did Luke do? Dude, did Evan do? The first thing they touched.
They got John's Hatton's ass.
As if you had checked.
Exactly. Dude, like,
every single person that walked up to that deer was just, like, rubbing its head, checking to see if it was a button buck.
I wish I would have timed how long I actually, sat and looked at the thing. It was forever.
I didn't know that because you sent the picture while we were recording here at this table. On this last podcast a couple of hours ago, all those boys were out. And you said it, and I was like, all the confidence of the world, Derek just smoked a doe. I did not know that.
I'm telling you, man, I let a lot of deer pass me that I could have shot, and I finally pulled the trigger on that one. I was terrified.
Well, I think that says a lot, right?
Yeah,
because
you wanted...
You cared. I mean, you cared enough to take that extra time.
And there was an expectation that was set.
Exactly.
We're here hunting on the, we're here as a group, but, like, we're also...
It's different than just, like, a bunch of shitheads getting together to go shoot deer.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Luke, Evan, and Perry are letting us hunt on their, like, fucking family farm. And there's a lot of responsibility that goes with it. Shout out to Papa Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah. I passed on a 120-yard shot today because it was uphill, and I knew that if I winged it, I was going to be shooting towards houses. So I was like, it's not worth me shooting at a doe.
No.
To extend it through their living room.
Exactly. No, exactly. Well, you know what I mean. Kidding. You know what I mean.
No, that's right.
But, like, you know, like, it's not like no deer is worth, like, this. No. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, this is, like, a really special place. Like,
just like Derek said, you know, if he didn't kill a deer this entire weekend or see a deer or whatever, like, it's still worth it. It's
great. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, we like to eat deer meat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we love the fruits.
Yeah, that
army's
delicious.
Yeah, we already started eating that one. Yeah. Fucking.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we all love that, and that's what we want to come back with. But at the same time, it's not worth jeopardizing, you know, what we have here.
Dude, and honestly, deer camp to me is not about killing deer at all. It's about the camaraderie.
Yep. It's about what's going on behind us right now.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know, like you did something really cool earlier that, you know, I was sitting over there by the fire talking to Garrett when you did it, you know, because there are some new guys here that haven't been on the team as long that, you know, may not be able to sit around and bust balls with each other like we do, but you know, you cut the tenderloin out of that deer and like threw it on the grill. And the second it come off, like there were some guys kind of standing around, like you could tell they were wanting to try it.
Yeah.
You know, and like they didn't say anything. Derek's like, well, y'all gonna come eat it or not?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what deer camp's about.
Dude, that's my favorite part, man.
We share this stuff, like we use it, and it was cool. That was like a big icebreaker moment, I feel like, for some of these guys, to where they really felt included. Because Derek's like, are y'all gonna eat it or not? Yeah. Like, I'm not over here cutting it out for nothing.
Yeah. Well, Ryan was over here with me when I was butchering it, and we cut the heart, and I was like, hey man, you wanna try the heart? And he's like, I've never ate heart. I was like, you've never ate heart? So like,
you gotta do it once. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but you gotta do it once.
Honestly, when I kill a deer, and if I kill a deer in the morning on a morning hunt, heart and eggs is like, it's like a tradition.
Oh, that is delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I'm not the biggest fan of just like raw, plain heart.
Yeah.
Now, heart and eggs, that, and put a little bit of onion in there.
S&P.
Yeah, put a little S&P.
Fry it up a little bit.
Onions in there with some hot sauce.
He's from Ontario, and he was explaining the draw system in Canada.
It's ridiculous.
Dude. To draw a doe tag, you put it in April and you find out if you draw one tag in August.
We take it super for granted in Georgia.
Dude, we get 12 tags, right?
Yeah.
And Eric's talking about it. We get a million tags.
Yeah. And okay, so yeah. Georgia's system is kind of what got me into bow hunting originally.
Right. Okay.
So bow season opens, you know, super early in the year. Well, then you got bow season, then you got like a week-long muzzleloader season, and then rifle season opens and goes till, you know,
October 21st till January 14th.
February in some counties.
Yeah.
You got that extended archery season.
Yep.
But so yeah, you get 12, you know, two bucks, 10 does, and then you can shoot a doe with a bow from the time, you know, day one of archery season until
September,
you know, February
16th.
That's yeah. Cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
So that got me into bow hunting, just because, you know, that I have limited time to go hunting, you know, family and everything. So when I go, you know, my family, we rely on eating deer meat a lot, you know, throughout the years. So the opportunity to put more meat in the freezer is what got me into archery in general. But yeah, I mean, just being able to go out any given day and, you know that, I've never tagged out in Georgia. You know, I mean, I've shot my, you know, filled my buck tags and stuff, but I've never killed, you know, 12 deer.
No, that's
amazing.
But I mean, like,
you could.
And I'll be honest, in some areas, I wish people would.
You could fucking totally do.
Yep.
Yeah, but like to hear what some other people have to go through just to be able to get that doe tag.
He hunted his allotted weekend.
Yeah,
and didn't kill a deer, and that. It blows my mind.
And just the fact
that he was so thankful that you were so willing to share your deer here in camp with him.
That's
just to give some perspective. Like,
that's
what
all this is about. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
That's what.
Because, I mean, like us, we can finish deer season and then we can already be making plans, you know, for next season because we know what we're going to have available to us tag wise, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's got to wait on, you know,
for one tag,
you know, if he's even going to be able to hunt for a deer next year. Whereas we're like, well, yeah, we're going to go to this place in, you know, September. We're going to go here in October. You know, we're going to go hunt the rut at this place because of, like, we have options that we take super for granted.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will say, though, that's, like, the one thing that, like, where I'm from, like, does really well. So that's what got me back into, like, deer hunting, like, hardcore, is that our bow season now starts September 17th and goes through January 31, and I get unlimited doe tags.
So you can hunt bows forever.
Yeah. But like, so for example, like I shot two does this, you know, season so far, and I tag them. I take a picture of it tagged on my doe, front and back. I email it to like our DEC, and within a week I get a tag. So like, that's like the one thing I will say that like back home that like they do it right, because it's super overpopulated. But like, I mean, for me, it's cool that like I can fill my freezer with does and just go crazy about it.
Oh yeah.
You know? Yep. And I feel like it's so easy for us to like take that for granted sometimes.
Yeah, and I'll say it's like, it was a huge morale boost. At least Derek came back with the doe tonight. Now it's hanging in the pole barn. I'm looking at it right now. Like, everybody was amped.
Yeah.
It's a huge,
which was kind of cool. Like, when I pulled up, fucking everybody was just standing around like, and as soon as I parked, like everybody just immediately came to the back.
It was like everybody's first deer.
And it was a fucking doe, dude. Like, yeah. I didn't kill some monster.
Yeah. No, I was like, yeah.
Fucking yeah.
It was cherry for the weekend.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it. Now we're just fucking open the floodgates for the rest of the weekend, you know?
It was awesome, man.
And it's not that dudes aren't seeing deer. It's just we got a lot of guys that are bow hunting as well, and they're just out of range. Like, Gabe's a fucking killer. He watched deer all day just out of bow range, you know?
Yep.
Had three bed down in front of him at 56 yards, but
crazy.
A little too far for a bow.
Yeah. Yep. I had two at 565 yards, yeah, which I'm definitely not doing that. not with a muzzle loader, no freaking way.
It's all geometry, dude. Get your dope and send it.
Yeah.
No, but it's good. That was it.
Get those angles right.
I just learned how to shoot a muzzle loader 3 days ago there, Derek.
It's easy. You just fucking pull the hammer back. You pull the trigger.
Sorry.
That's good. It's a good first day, and we got a morning hunt and an afternoon hunt, and then another morning hunt, another afternoon hunt. It's first day.
So I'm gonna go ahead and shamelessly, you know, plug some stuff for Fish Lift Eat real quick.
Please,
you know we're sitting here talking about how much we're
the only guy who brought a fishing pole.
It is in there. That don't really say a whole lot though, because there's a voice.
Permanently in there.
Yeah. But, you know,
well, y'all ain't got no truck pole.
What y'all doing with your life?
You ain't got the right stuff.
You know, hopefully by the end of this episode, you know, y'all have heard the value in these rendezvous, right? You know, whenever we're able to get the team together, and, you know, we obviously love hunting. Everybody loves to hunt. And we want to share that on the Fish Lift Eat side too. So next year, you know, we're actually planning a couple, you know, fish camps is what we're calling, you know, Fish Lift Eat fish camps, to where it's going to be. Y'all are hearing it first here.
Are you allowed to break that news right now? What?
He's the guy.
Who else is going to fucking do it?
So I'm saying that to anybody that, you know, maybe on the fence about joining the team. Maybe your background is all fishing and, you know, you're not, you know, big into the hunting world yet, but maybe it's something that you want to get involved with, and this might be your perfect opportunity. So, you know, if you want to enjoy these experiences like we're talking about, go ahead and send your application in. Get plugged in with us and get connected. And, you know, there's going to be events next year that lead to this. So we're looking at one possibly out in like Colorado. You know, we got a lot of big Western fly fishing guys involved, and then looking at possibly doing another one on the East Coast. Going to be tailored more to be able to do some fly fishing and, or, you know, trout fishing, but then also bass fishing on the lake and things like that. And it's going to be a lot of the similar stuff like this. There's going to be some educational pieces to it, seminars and, you know, some good meals and stuff like that too. But yeah, that's going to be on the table for 2024.
So, dude, it's been super impressive to see you take that thing and run with it.
Like, it has been so much fun.
You have crushed it.
It has been so much fun.
You know what's crazy is Casey and I don't live that far apart, but where we are in our lives, we get so busy with kids, and Casey has like 50 jobs, and
you part Jamaican? That's too many jobs.
I have like 3 jobs, and we get busy, and then every time we get back together, I'm just so proud, dude. I'm just so proud of where you've taken Fish Lift Eat. Fish Lift Eat didn't exist until you took it by the reins, and now it's like you have your own standalone podcast. So, mm-hmm. Listeners, if you're still listening by now, thank you. Go follow Fish Lift Eat.
Oh, gee, we appreciate the hell out of it.
For real, man. I'm super proud of where you've taken it, and
it's been a lot of fun. You know, and really in the last year, you know, we've had to add some roles to it, obviously, because it has taken some legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to, you know, Justin Everly, who wasn't able to be here, and Papa Stark, who's actually doing he's at a fish camp right now, is why he's not here, you know, with his regions.
That's so fucking poor planning right there.
That's, you know, Derek says that. I think it's awesome.
I'm so disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'm Papa Stark.
It is really cool, though, because really, you know, since I took the reins of Fish Lift Eat, it's been less than a year. You know, it was late February of this year. And I make the joke to the guys whenever we have like our monthly meetings and stuff. I said, you know, there wasn't anybody designated to Fish Lift Eat to grow it. And all there was an Instagram page with 6 posts.
6 followers.
6 posts. And when I took it over, there was 192 followers. Yeah. And every single one of them were team members.
Yeah.
Which is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, now, between all our platforms, you know, over 1,000 followers, you know, the people that we have dedicated to that space, and, you know, the personalities that we're bringing in and having on the podcast and making these relationships with, and brand partners that we've got, like, it's, you know, the headway that we've made in this first year is incredible, but it's also encouraging to be like, what are we going to be like 5 years down the road?
Yep.
And that's been super fun.
Did you think you'd be even remotely close to that after less than 12 months?
No. And if it hadn't been for, you know, the other roles that have come on with it, I wouldn't be. Like, it would not be where it was now, had it not been for, you know, everybody involved.
Justin and Chad and Pup Stark.
Chad is a wizard.
Yeah, he is.
Chad is the man. You know, we've talked about it, though, every time. So whenever I started running it, you know, we had a big surge. You know, there was a lot of growth really, really quick. Then it kind of plateaued. And then around that time was when I was able to grab Justin and Papa. And, you know, we saw exponential growth. Then it was kind of stalling. And then we brought Chad in, who was just incredible.
Which is also crazy because Justin and Chad joined the team because we invited them onto a podcast when they were running the Joe Outdoors.
Yeah.
And then they believed so much in what we were doing, they joined the team and have now been a part of our growth. Yeah.
So, you know, for everybody that's listened to the Fish Lift Eat podcast, you know, the reason that is such a great thing as it is because of Chad. It really is. I mean, the whole team, yeah, but when we brought Chad on, it was just such an improvement in the quality of what we were able to put out, and he's incredible. And but then, you know, brought him on, exponential growth. So, you know, what's going to happen in the future, we're going to have to bring on more roles, obviously, because we want to, you know, continue that and make it sustainable for the future. But it's been super encouraging just being able to take on new things and knowing what it's going to be. And the fact that we all believe in it the way we do, and, you know, the support we get for it is incredible. So, yeah. So, you know, if you're a fishing minded person and, you know, you want to dabble in some hunting too, and, you know, be able to be exposed to events like this that we're sitting at right now, you know, jump on in. We'd love to chat with you.
Applications are open.
You know, if there's any way to designate, you know, that you're interested in the fishing side of things, I'd love to personally chat with you. But, yeah, there's going to be some more opportunities to get together in person in 2024. We'd love for you to be at Fish Lift Eat Fish Camp.
Hell yeah.
Maybe we can talk to, you know, one of our great, great brand partners at Stanty Blade Company about making us a Fish Lift Eat fillet knife.
Hey, man.
Ooh.
That ain't outside the realm of possibility.
I'll buy that knife.
I'll buy
it. I'll make that deal.
You make that damn deal. That's a damn good deal. I don't blame you.
I've been chewed out.
Every fish that we eat, if we can make that happen by fish camp, every fish that we eat will be filleted with a Stanty Blade fillet.
It's your backcountry line. Just saying.
We can make that happen.
I'll buy two of those things.
We can make that happen.
We'll talk offline.
Sounds good.
This has been very good.
This has been a little day one. I've been here a day and a half.
When we're able to sit in person and do these.
I agree.
No, the first one I was able to do in person was when we were in Salt Lake City. And it's awesome just being able to look across the table and talk to people.
Yeah, if you're on the team already and haven't gone to an in-person event,
do it. I don't care what you have to move around to be able to get here. To whatever, even if it's a pint night at, you know, a local brewery or something in your region, just do it.
It's worth it.
Talk to your region leads. Reach out to them.
If you can't afford it, whatever.
There's no excuses. Like, literally, if you want to be at one, reach out, talk to us. We will get you there.
Yep. Don't be shy. Get involved.
You will not be out of what
you put into this team, right, Carter? Isn't that what we always preached?
Every person on this team has stood true
since I have been a part of this group.
And we still interview every single person on this team. So,
yep. So get involved. Don't be afraid. And shit, boys, this was an amazing day one.
That's
what you got, Derek. Round us out,
man. Just
bring it home.
Fucking go out and meet people. Fucking find a tribe. Find people that you love. I mean, I don't give a fuck if you join this team or not. Like, just find the people that you connect with and fucking 100%. Get out there and mix it up with them. Yeah. Do something different.
Don't be afraid to invest in yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean monetarily. You know, you're gonna be an aggregate of the people you surround yourself with. So be choosy with that. You know, look at who you want to be, what do you have to do to become the person you want to become and surround yourself with the people that's going to enable you to be that?
And I'll shamelessly plug. So we've had book clubs steadily grown the last couple months. And Forrest, he's a newer team member. You know, we were talking after the November book club. And he's like, hey, man, I just really like it how you and Ryan, when you run this thing, like you don't take it over. Like you'll talk a little bit about the book. You talk about what you took from the book, and then you open it up to everybody else and you listen to their idea about it. And, you know, you don't fucking put anybody down for what they took from it. Like you just kind of listen and you know, take their opinion. And I was like, dude,
you're facilitating the space for it.
I was like, I know what I fucking thought of the book. How am I going to learn?
Yeah.
You know, other viewpoints. If I just shut everybody down, like, oh no, that was a stupid point, you fucking idiot. Like, why would you even think that? Like, why?
I'll second that. What good does that do? Whenever I joined the team, it was literally like there was book club like 3 or 4 days after like I was actually brought into the team, and I wouldn't have gotten on it originally if somebody, I can't remember if it was you or Ryan, but it's like, I don't care if you've read the book, like just come hang out.
Derek.
Just come and listen. Just yeah. Like,
and I did. And that was actually the first, outside of my interview, that was the first HLE event.
Call to action.
That I attended.
Yeah.
Was a book club. And, you know, I didn't contribute to the conversation because it was a book that I had not read or anything that I wasn't even familiar with, but I didn't feel out of place.
No. And you can, it
even made me, I ended up buying that book and reading it later. Just because of the things that I heard in that conversation. And it was a military style book. I can't remember exactly which one it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I don't have a military background whatsoever. But, you know, just the conversations that all the team members were having. And yeah. Never mind. We won't get on that one. We've talked too long. But I mean, it was very welcoming, and it was easy to come in even not having that, to a point. I've come to others that maybe I didn't read the book. Some I have.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very good space just to, you know, just an opportunity to sit around and talk to guys. Yeah,
and I learn more from team members just like shit like this, a book club, fucking pint nights, and you know, even just like a happy hour Zoom calls that we do. Like, I've learned more from the team than just anywhere else, you know? Like, there's so much, like, for it that... Forced again. Like I'm working on
When would we have met a good dude like him?
I'm working on a bag that's like a concealed carry first aid bag for civilian use. And I've had a hell of a time trying to get this thing in production. And he's like, yeah, man, like I'm part Asian. Like our family has a sew shop. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, we can get this thing kicking off. I was like, oh, sick. Like, and that was just something in passing that we did on a weekly call. Like I would have never fucking known that. And there's,
yeah,
high tides raise all ships.
Yeah, man, it's fucking great. I love it.
It is great. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Thanks, man. And you know what? You're doing great.
No,
you know, Carter, you are great.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah, I love you guys. This has been good.
Hell yeah! I'm ready for day two.
Day two will be good.
Well, why don't you just lay your little head on your pillow and get time travel on day two?
Well, what time is it? It might be somebody back
there. It's still early, but it's just dark as fuck.
It's also time to be ready for day two. So, Carter, go ahead and wrap us up. And
yeah.
Let's leave some meat on the bone
Absolutely.
For another podcast later.
Listeners, as always, appreciate the hell out of you guys. We'll talk to you next week.